throws. It is caught. Touchdown.
Drops back to third. It's picked off. Touchdown.
Shotgun snap. Under pressure. Ball is through.
This is the Mean Gene Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Pack it up, pack
all
it
right.
In. Let me
we
begin.
Are
I
all
can't
know
when battle me. That's a sin. I won't give a slack up.
Five.
Okay, better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up.
Weekend September is here. We are going to talk football. Jacob Meadows is not in the studio with me, but he is on the line. Jacob, what's going on, my man?
What is going on, Mean Gene? It sucks not being there with you today, but I am glad that I was at least able to call in despite being morbidly sick all weekend. I'm doing as good as I could be. How are you doing today?
Hey, man, your voice is a little deep now, deeper than mine, so I'm having issues with that. But so something's going
on. Temporary.
Don't
worry, baby. It's temporary.
All right, man. So look, hey, it's going to be two Barry Whites on the show today. So good. It's going to make for good radio. Jacob Meadows from the coach's quarters. Hey, Jacob, look here, man. NC2A football has officially arrived. We're going to talk about some of those games that took place yesterday, even though we're an NFL show. But how can we not acknowledge the opening week of college football?
I'm right there with you. It was a beautiful opening week to college football. There weren't as many upsets necessarily as I would have wanted, but it's only week one. And we got a taste of plenty of good ball. So, yeah, I'm ready to break this college football season wide open.
Yes, indeed. And also, I forgot, look, where's my manners at? You know, our main man on the wheels and steals there, and that's AJ. AJ, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. Just getting ready for this NFL season for sure. I'm ready.
Are you ready? Are you a college football fan, though?
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan of both.
So
yes,
you did watch some of those games yesterday, some of the blowout scores, just...
Yes, sir. Yeah. I've watched a lot of games, and then also, of course, watching A&M and Notre Dame game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's just football, though. You
oh,
feel
yeah,
it?
For sure. Yeah.
We
it's
just need
exciting.
The temperatures to drop about 20 degrees.
Right,
so
exactly.
We know it's not officially fall yet. I think, what, we're about 3 weeks away from
yeah,
that?
Yeah, later this month.
All right. So, we're getting there. Also, gentlemen, NFL kicks off the regular season this Thursday and Friday, followed by a full schedule of games on Sunday, and of course Monday Night Football. And yes, Jacob, real meaningful football is back.
Real meaningful football. We're finally out of the preseason. Starters are going to be playing. Good ball is going to be on TV every day, just about. It's a beautiful time of year.
Yeah, and I know you're excited about the Texans. We're going to talk about them too as they prepare for their opener with the Colts. Man, nothing scarier than, you know, look, we know what the team did last year. That was then. This is now, you know, the old cliche, right? So this team, fans are excited and everything. But look, you open up against a division rival, and that is a rival in which the likes of Anthony Richardson is going to be waiting on this Texans team.
They just have to kind of I'll tie two things together. The last thing that you brought up, college football scores, and then AJ brought up the Notre Dame Texas A&M game. I'm hoping that Anthony Richardson comes out like the quarterback for Texas A&M against the Texans and just falls flat.
I know. But that would be you and the entire city of Houston right now. You know, no one wants a healthy Anthony Richardson to we don't want to see any signs of what he showed last year in the couple of games that he did play. But this is going to be a real interesting opening. You know, we're going to talk about it, you know, a little bit later. Also, Jacob, we're doing our final 2024 NFL predictions, which includes our last two divisions. We're going to do the NFC South in this hour. And then in the second hour, it's the NFC North. So after this, Jacob, not only do we have to pick the division champions from both of these divisions, we also have to take all of our information that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks and take it all the way to who we think is going to be in Super Bowl 59.
I'm pretty confident about my picks. How do you feel about yours? You already got yours locked in. You still need a little bit of time during the show to think them out.
I'm just going to make this stuff up as we go. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. No, look, no. Me and Dustin Pfeiffer, we actually got a chance to talk about this on the Sports Kings podcast, where, you know, last week. So I think I've already picked my Super Bowl participants. I just got to make sure that they align up with, you know, everything that I previously said, because, you know, listeners will catch you in a lie, right? They will know that if I'm flip-flopping. But, look, you know, NFC, I'm shaky on. AFC, you're going to be surprised who I have in my AFC championship game. Or maybe
really? Not.
Yeah, well, you've probably already looked at my notes, so you already know, but the listeners don't. So, anyway, they'll find out here shortly. But AJ will be shocked at who I have in the AFC championship game. NFC championship game, I'm still on the bubble, but look, I have it all figured out before the show is over. And then, look, so we got Dustin Pfeiffer, who covers the Carolina Panthers for Bally Sports Southeast. He also covers the Charlotte Hornets for with the NBA. Dustin's going to come on in at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get into the NFC South first. And also now in the second hour, Jacob got a treat, man. You know, I have a nephew in Chicago who he's going to be kicking off his own podcast here pretty soon. He owns a barbershop there. So years ago, the Sports Kings, we went up there and we hosted a show from this barbershop with one of the former Chicago Bears players. So now he's been inspired, you know, by what his uncle does. So he wants to get into broadcasting and stuff. But, man, he's really good. He's going to come on and he's going to be known as Nephew Tony on this show, because he's going to be coming on, especially when the Bears take on the Texans. Everyone is looking forward to that game for some reason. I think it's the Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud thing. Is that what it is, Jacob?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get caught looking ahead. You know, Texans got to have their, you know, and fans, Texans, well, the players, you don't have to tell them. I know they focus, but the fans need to. I think everyone is looking forward to that week two, because it's the home opener, actually, right?
Yeah, so, it's the home opener. Plus, Chicago loaded that team. I mean, everybody's excited to watch it, because you basically get some of the biggest stars from the last decade all on the same field for no reason, because Chicago just absolutely front-loaded their offense for Caleb Williams. Plus, you get the Caleb Williams experience.
Yeah, I think
on top of C.J. Stroud and everybody here in Houston.
I mean, I don't know. The schedule makers, you wonder, like, how do they, you know, forecast this? You know, who knew that the Bears would trade away the pick to get Caleb Williams? And who knew that C.J. Stroud would have the year that he had last year? And who knew that they would be playing each other head-to-head for the Texans opener here in a couple of weeks? So, I mean, that's going to be fascinating. So we'll talk about that. But, look, we're going to talk more about what they're going to be doing getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts, because that's going to be the most interesting thing. But, hey, folks, as always, you know, look, if you want to call in, be part of the show, you got something you want to share with us, 713-780-3776. Now, for those of you out there on YouTube, I always have to wave and do all that stuff. If you're listening to us on Twitch, that's always cool too. But anyway, let's talk about here, before we get into the NFL, before we get into anything, this just tragic news here out of San Francisco. And this is the San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Ricky Pearsall released from the hospital after being shot during an attempted robbery. Now, this story broke last night, and this is pretty interesting. So this is what we got. This is from AP News in San Francisco. A juvenile suspect is in custody after allegedly shooting San Francisco 49er wide receiver Ricky Pearsall in the chest Saturday afternoon during an attempted robbery in central San Francisco. Not really a neighborhood or part of town that's known for this kind of stuff. So anyway, Pearsall, 23, was released today from the San Francisco General Hospital and Trauma Center. According to a statement from the team, he has been listed in fair condition. Unbelievable. And you know, we've talked about the 49ers, Jacob, and this wide receiver situation, but, man, no one could ever imagine something like this happening to, you know, any player for that matter.
It's just a sad state of affairs, right? Because it happened in the middle of the day, didn't it? It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some kid, he was just walking to his car with the groceries, and some kid ran up to him and tried to rob him. And it's just, it's awful. It's awful what the world has come to today, when you have to worry about things like that, when you're doing something just as small and routine as getting groceries. You know, prayers up to Ricky Pearsall, for sure. Because like you said, nobody deserves to have to go through something like that.
No, and chances are, like you said, the fact that it happened in the afternoon in broad daylight, the guy probably, the suspect probably didn't even know who Pearsall was.
No, and at least they did arrest the suspect there on scene. That it does look like they have him in custody, and you know, hopefully this doesn't happen to anybody else. It sucks that it happened to Ricky, but you know, hopefully it doesn't happen again to the same person.
Yeah, so our prayers and thoughts go out to the 49er fans, and of course Ricky Pearsall. So we will keep an eye on this, and hopefully he will be ready for the 49ers season opening. So before we jump into the Texans and the rest of the NFL, as we mentioned at the start of the show, how about we recap an amazing start to the 2024 NCAA football season? And look, Jacob, AJ, I can't remember the last time when I seen so many blowouts to start the season. And I know why this is happening. And AJ, chime in, because of style points, you know, teams want to make that playoffs. 12 teams this year. We're in uncharted territory this year. But yesterday, if you know, and I know week one matchups are cupcakes. Jacob, you know, you see that, right? You see, like, take for instance, Arkansas. The University of Arkansas played UAPB Pine Bluff, HBCU school in Arkansas, right? So, and look. They beat them 70-0. Now,
yeah.
What?
There was some basketball scores this week. It was kind of like when Ole Miss beat the just the mess out of Furman 76-0. I'm not even totally sure where Furman University is. I don't know who that is. I'm being completely honest with you.
I think it's in Ohio somewhere. Look, I'm just guessing. I have no idea. I'm not on the internet looking. If somebody know where Furman University is, please call and let us know. You know, there's probably an alumni out there that's hating the hell out of us right now. Look, 76-0. But you know, Ole Miss is the sixth ranked team in the nation, and these schools will, you know, get together and they'll make these schedules. This is like preseason almost, Jacob, if you will, for college football, right?
It's like a scrimmage, yeah.
I mean, it's a scrimmage that counts, though. I mean, look.
Correct. 70, yeah, it counts against your record. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was just whippings, you know, all over the place. So, Tennessee, fifth-ranked team, they stay in state. They play Chattanooga, okay, 69-3. How about Ohio State over Akron? Akron is, you know, LeBron James' hometown, right? they beat them 52-6. And mind you, Ohio State is the number two team in the country. And how about Texas? Colorado State, 52-0 in a game that didn't, you know, look like it was going to get that. It don't take long for these games to get out of control. You know, when you see 35-0, you know, in the halftime, I think that Arkansas UAPB score was like 28-0, and it was still in the first quarter.
Yeah, it's nuts. And once they said, it's almost like once some of these higher powered schools start scoring, that's what it takes. You know, you break that seal, and then the points just pour on afterwards.
It does. Now, what about, and this was a late night game, because this is what I hate about watching college football West Coast, because these games don't come on until midnight when everyone else is asleep, right? So you got Arizona, they're the number 20.
21.
Yeah, 21 there in the country. They beat New Mexico 61-39. So New Mexico was like, no, we're not going to take the ass whipping like these other schools. They actually put up a fight.
New Mexico might have a squad this year. I mean, I know, they're not going to compete for the Natty, but New Mexico looked competitive against Arizona. And I think Arizona's better than the 21st ranked team in the nation anyway.
Yeah.
New Mexico might have a squad this year.
They might. And I can't remember the last time Arizona was ranked nationally as a college football team. They're always known for their basketball program. So I tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue just taking a couple of a look at a couple of games here, because we definitely want to get your thoughts on the Texas A&M Notre Dame game that took place last night. And as we talk here, USC and LSU is on ABC, so I get you some scores on that. So it's the Mean Gene Show with Jacob Meadows here on 97.5 ESPN Houston.
Listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, we are back, folks, moving it right along here on a Sunday, 7-9. We are on our regular time last week. We had to make room for the Houston Astros and the Baltimore Orioles. So this is going to be our regular time. So please, please, please tell someone to tell someone to tell someone to tell someone. Tune in to us. We will have your analysis, your scores and updates, all of that stuff. Once the games are played, and me and Jacob, we're going to come and break down those games. It's going to be a fast-moving two-hour show. And, Jacob, I can't wait. The real deal next Sunday, man. When we come in Sunday, we're coming in hot.
Dude, I've been waiting all offseason for this. This is the best time of the year just because it's finally starting. I look forward to football season all year. You know, people talk about seasonal depression, and as soon as that football season ends, that's what hits. It's seasonal depression until that first kickoff of training camp, and we're finally into the regular season, Mean Gene. We are right on the cusp of a great season, and our analysis every week is going to be spot on. It's going to be great.
Indeed, man. We got a lot of surprises for you and all of that stuff coming up here. Because, you know, these last couple of weeks, we've just been coasting, okay? You know, preseason. I know a lot of people don't get excited about preseason football. So happy that we don't have to talk about that anymore. That is done with and over with. But for the most part, we are ready to kick off the start of the NFL season, which, by the way, if you don't already know this, Thursday night, the Baltimore Ravens will travel to Arrowhead to take on the defending Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are trying to do what no team in the NFL has ever done before, Jacob, and that's win three Super Bowls in a row.
That three-peat, the mighty elusive three-peat. I'm excited to see if they can do it. Honestly, I'm tired of Kansas City's success just because, you know, I spent my entire life as a Texans fan in the AFC watching the Patriots clown everybody. The Brady's gone, Belichick's gone, the whole AFC gets to breathe a sigh of relief just about. And then Patrick Mahomes comes on, and Pat is the best quarterback in the league. He's one of the best, you know, just pure pound-for-pound players of my generation. And now we have that to look forward to. So I'm excited to see if the Chiefs can pull off the three-peat.
Yeah,
I'm hoping against it, but I'm happy that I get to witness.
But, you know, and this is why our picks are going to be interesting because, man, you know, they are the favorite. And normally you see a drop-off in teams. You know, you got your first to worst and worst to first. And teams historically that made the playoffs the previous year don't make it. Who is it going to be this year? Which team is not going to make it? And it's scary to think about when you look at all of the powerhouse teams in the AFC and the NFC, who is not going to be there that was there last year, Jacob, because there's teams like the Texans and teams like Green Bay Packers that have had momentum going into the end of the season.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting season from start to finish because it feels like the parity around the league has gotten so equal, right? There's so many fewer bad teams and so many more good enough teams to break into the playoffs that it's hard to peg who might be good from the beginning of the season just because there's so much talent dispersed across the league now, whereas you used to have, there were a couple of powerhouses. And then, you know, you'd have a few beneath them that you could trust a little bit, but you had those two or three teams that you knew were going to be at the top. And this season, it doesn't look like there's going to be two or three teams on either side that are just so far in front of the rest that you can just easily pick them to be at the top.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And look, you know, last segment we were, you know, kind of making fun of some of the lopsided scores in college football. And you know, you might see a lot of teams running up the score this year because, you know, the style points are there. But this year, the first year for the college football playoffs, will have 12 teams. And this is going to be interesting. And, you know, come late December there. And, you know, the first round of the playoffs is like, you know, December 20th. Then you got your quarterfinals. And then you got your, you know, this is almost like a mini like NC2A basketball tournament, but with not as many teams. This is going to be interesting because teams that didn't make it last year, you know, how long have we been arguing about, okay, they should have made it, they should have made it. You know, they picked the wrong four teams, or what about this team that went 12-0 and they didn't even make it because of their, you know, strength of schedule or lack of or whatever. This is going to be great here to end college football. So we probably have a lot of college football dates. I mean, updates as we, you know, just get through the NFL season.
We should, yeah. I mean, you had teams like the UCF team that was real good with Isaiah McKenzie at quarterback years ago that went undefeated. They wanted a shot at the Natty. You have schools like Cincinnati, like Liberty, that are really, really good within their conference but never got a crack at the playoffs. So this expanded 12-team playoff is going to allow for, you know, these smaller schools that have the talent. They have the players that they can compete. They'll finally get their chance to go against the Georgias and the Alabamas and the blue-chip teams to, you know, really just prove their mettle that they belong. And it, you know, it may not happen this year, but it's going to be really, really, really cool when one of these smaller teams end up taking it all over an SEC or a Big Ten or, you know, any other conference.
Yeah, I mean, even with the basketball format, it doesn't happen. I mean, there's always the Cinderellas that upset, but, you know, you don't have enough teams and, you know, I'm sure, you know, the smaller schools are going to be facing these big schools as far as the seedings, and that'll be the end of it there. But you never know. Somebody might sneak through. So don't take your eyes off college football this year because it's going to be interesting and exciting. Okay, let's talk Texans football here. Let's talk about this team is getting ready to go on the road to face the Indianapolis Colts. Man, the Colts always play the Texans tough, Jacob, and no matter who's on the field. You know, this is going to be interesting here. And I know everyone's looking forward to the Bears week two, the home opener. And, you know, and before the home opener, how about the stadium, which was damaged by Hurricane Beryl? There are a couple of panels in that stadium that won't be repaired until probably the end of the month. So that's not that it's going to make a difference. I mean, I don't think the weather's going to get crazy over the next couple of weeks, but you just never know. We're still in hurricane season, right?
Nuts that we took damage during Hurricane Beryl. You know, when the forecast and whatnot were rolling through, Hurricane Beryl wasn't much, right? Like, even when you watch the news, like, naturally they said, like, you know, be careful, but it wasn't supposed to be this giant storm. And then it rips those panels off of NRG, and yeah, there's one that's going to be taken care of like right before the Colts game, and another one like 4 weeks later, and it's wild that in our, like, downtown got tore up so bad by the high winds from that hurricane. Like, it's wild to me that happened.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, look, you know, I mean, hey, first game is on the road, so nothing. I'm sure they're going to do whatever they can to get this thing. It's just a moot point. I mean, they played during the preseasons. No, you know, it wasn't like there was, you know, a torrential rainstorm or anything. And if any luck, you know, if it does happen, it's going to be on the visiting team side. So we let them get drenched with rain or whatever. or you know, like the Cowboys stadium with the sun, you know, how the sun can just come in there. If you're on the wrong end of the field, you know, you are impacted. But, hey, getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts. And, man, this is going to be tough. This is going to be a test because if the Texans are going to win the division, like me and you and almost everyone else has predicted, it's going to start with that game, Sunday versus the Colts.
Correct. And I think, you know, it's going to come down to the defensive line for Houston. I think with the Colts game, you know, Will Anderson's been a little banged up all preseason. He had that ankle injury early on. He's been out since the Hall of Fame game. So we have Will Anderson as a semi-question mark for this game, despite him trending in the right direction for the last 3 weeks. So it's going to come down to the fact that Danico Autry suspended. Will Anderson is questionable. So you're going to need a big game out of Danielle Hunter. And you're going to need players like Tim Settle and Mario Edwards to really, really make an impact. I assume that we'll have Derek Barnett starting on the other side in place of Will Anderson if he's not ready to go at 100%. So if our defensive line can contain Anthony Richardson and it can hold Jonathan Taylor to a minimum, I think that's the key to success. It's all going to come down to whether or not the defensive line can gel correctly with Anthony Richardson being as dynamic as he is.
You know, and I got a question there as far as AJ. Do we have a soundbite on from D'Amico Ryans on expectations this week?
Not necessarily for this week, but just expectations for the season. Because there's only articles about it. I couldn't find any.
Okay, let's Let's get D'Amico Ryan's thought on exactly what the season. You got that ready, AJ?
I still tell our guys our expectations is just to get better every day. Like, I tell it, like, we can't get everybody know when we suit up like you guys have. Like, everybody wants to go win it all, right? That's always the goal. That's why we do what we do, right? We're trying to go get that Lombardi, but we don't get there overnight. So enjoy the process of just getting better every day. And when we look up in February and we're there playing for that Lombardi, that's what's going to make it really special.
That's good stuff. I like that, Jacob. And thanks, AJ. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, D'Amico's been there, you know, being with the 49ers. He knows that road to get there. But I just think, you know, what he said, Jacob, was spot on. And he's the right man to really just take this young team where they need to go.
I agree. Spot on. And, you know, every time I hear D'Amico Ryan speak, makes me feel like running through a wall. I get hyped up. Every time I hear him talk to the team, it makes me want to put on pads and go run through somebody. I love it.
Don't do it, Jacob. Don't do it, man. It looks easy, but it's not, man. You look, I mean, you look like you're in shape and stuff. I mean, probably you can go last longer. You and AJ could probably last a couple of downs, but I'm just not getting out there at all. I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting old now. I'm on the downward spiral. I'm a wily veteran. They would have cut me even if I was talented at this age. So, I mean, that's just kind of the name of the game.
And see, AJ's on the practice squad. He just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, you know, he's cut up for a young dude. He's ready to go. AJ, you ready? Would you be ready if they called you?
Maybe. I mean, I played football when I was younger, but I became a hooper like close to high school. But I mean, hey, I put on some muscle and stuff. So
That's what I'm saying. Hey, well, speaking of muscle here, we getting ready to talk NFC South when we come back. We're going to bring Dustin Pfeiffer. You guys know he's my Sports Kings buddy. You can catch us every week on Podbean, streaminglive.com. So we're always going to be giving you our predictions on the game. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're getting into the NFC South. We only got two more divisions to look at before we make the overall projection. So stay with us here. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show with Jacob Meadows on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
Bird and Red Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up and that frog will boil. As veterans, we can tell ourselves the lie that it's easier to stay in that boiling water, to disconnect. But you've never been interested in easy. You are not a frog.
Find resources at va.gov/reach.
You know you don't have to wear your PT gear anymore, right?
It's comfortable.
So how's civilian life treating you?
It's fine.
When I got out, I didn't want to admit that there was anything wrong because I felt like a failure. And then I realized, like, there's nothing to be ashamed of. So I started talking to someone. Maybe you are fine. But if you're not, it's okay. Thank you.
If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach.
You have a toilet? You have a sink? You have pipes in your house? Of course you do! Then put this number in your phone. 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing. John Granato here. At some point, you're going to need Aqueduct Plumbing. They're professional, affordable, and offer free estimates. I can't tell you how many times my buddies have asked me for that number. Don't be that guy. Be proactive. Be responsible. Be a hero to your family. Put Aqueduct Plumbing's number in your phone now. 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
Gone! Your home for the Sugarland Space Cowboys is ESPN 92.5. Listen to every hit, pitch, and big play of the 2024 season right here on ESPN 92.5.
13 years ago, Veritex Community Bank opened its doors with the intention to serve others and grow the community. Over 40,000 customers choose the bank with truth in its name. Wouldn't you like to experience truth in Texas banking? Join Team Veritex today. Member FDIC.
Now back to Mean Gene, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Great. We are back once again, folks, bottom of the 21st. Now we're going to be G Show on Sunday in December. It is football. I mean, the leaves are not falling quite yet, and the temperatures haven't dropped. But football has. College football, NCAA football, LSU, USC on ABC TV right now. If you USC is leading that game 7-0, by the way. But the big boys, the ones that we talk about, the reason why we are here, they get underway Thursday night, and we are going to talk about the NFC South. Jacob, we still got you, right?
Yes, sir. I am still here.
But this next guy, y'all might know something about him. You know, we've only worked together for almost, 10, 12 years now. It's been a wonderful ride. This guy, just an expert when it comes to football. His knowledge is way better than me and Gene's. But he's representing the Carolina Panthers, so you can never say nothing wrong or bad about them because he would correct you. But anyway, we're talking about my man Dustin Pfeiffer from Bally Sports Southeast. Dustin, what's up?
Mean Gene, what's going on, man? Glad to be on. I think I need to correct you there, though. I don't like to correct other people. I just like to correct you.
Yeah, I know. You keep me on my toes, Dustin. You always have.
I do.
Even from the days when I was wandering and lost at Bank of America Stadium there, covering the Dolphins and the Panthers, man, Jacob, that's how I met this guy, and he's been helping me ever since.
Nice. Makes sense, yeah.
We got
what's up, Dustin? What's going on, Jacob, man? Good to talk to you.
Let's get into it, man. We're going to start NFC South, and, you know, Dustin, for this segment, we're going to go in hot with the Panthers, even though, just to recap, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won that division for the last 3 years. Now, we know there was a guy by the name of Tom Brady that was there for the most part, but what we didn't see was this Baker Mayfield guy leading the Buccaneers to a 9-8 season. You know, they get into a wild card game. They beat the Eagles. You know, they caught the Eagles on a bad night or a bad week or a bad year. But nevertheless, they did get in and win a game. But it's the Panthers that everyone kind of wants to know what's going to be different about the Panthers this year, Dustin, because last year was rough for Bryce Young, the former Heisman Trophy winner. What's the outlook for the Panthers this year?
Well, yeah, I don't think it can get any worse for the Panthers, if I'm being honest. I mean, just a train wreck of a year last year. You get the number one pick, you get Bryce Young. But the coaching staff, Frank Wright, who they brought in, it just didn't work out. Their scheme didn't work out. They had too many coaches that wanted to do different things. And it just was a train wreck, and the roster wasn't good as itself. So they've made a complete change. You know, they've gotten rid of the GM. We've got Dan Morgan as the GM now. Dave Canales as the head coach, who came from Tampa Bay and worked with Baker Mayfield when he had that rejuvenation last year. So they're really trying to change some things around. They bulked up their offensive line, which was a huge problem, spent $100 million on their starting guards, went out and got some receivers, Deontay Johnson from Pittsburgh. So they got Jonathan Brooks in the draft from Texas. So they're doing everything they can to surround Bryce with some weapons to give him some help. Because, listen, when you pick him as the number one pick, you expect this guy to come in and produce. But when you put him in a terrible situation like you did with this roster and that coaching staff last year, I don't think anybody could have came in and succeeded with what they had. So they're really trying to give him more weapons, more protection, so he can be a much better quarterback in year two. And I think we did see he only played one drive in the preseason, but it was a very impressive drive. So I'm hoping to see some big improvement from Bryce Young and the Panthers this year.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, I'm right there with Dustin, you know. Like, they expected the world out of Bryce Young last year, and then they traded away all of his offensive talent, and they gave him just a skeleton of a scheme. And then on top of it, the coaches didn't know what they were doing. They did. They went out, and they got Xavier Leggett and Johnson from the Steelers to bolster their wide receiving core. They beefed up their offensive line. And now I think we'll actually be able to get a taste of what the Bryce Young-led Panthers can actually do now that they have NFL-caliber talent on the team.
You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just add on to that real quick, Gene. I mean, listen, we're not sitting here saying they're going to make the playoffs this year and go from 2 wins to 10 wins. But I think you will see that improvement. Even if it's just 6 or 7 wins, you're talking about tripling their win total from a year ago. So you just want to see improvement in this rebuild. You want to see Bryce Young be able to produce now that they finally have put some competent people around him. So they're just looking to take that next step in the rebuild. It's not fully finished, but I think you'll see some of those steps taken this year.
And see, and that's what I want to, you know, talk to you about, because if you look at 2021, they go 5-12. You look at 2022, 7-10, then last year, 2-15. So, you know, how can that's like a, you know, a seesaw type of a win-loss record, but that 7-10 was good enough for second place. You know, and you know, how can they just make it better? You know, do you see a possible chance where they can get 7 wins out of this team?
Yeah, I think if they stay healthy, that they have a chance to get 7 wins, and obviously we talk about that with a bunch of teams. But the thing about this team is, again, they're just fresh in this rebuild. I think Dan Morgan, the GM, is doing a good job of finally getting some guys in here, like I said, that can help. But I don't think they have a lot of depth. Their frontline starters are pretty good, and they brought in some talent. But if they have any type of injuries across the offensive line, defensive line, then their depth is not as good as some of these other playoff teams in the past, and that they could struggle. But if they stay fairly healthy, I think they could push for 7 wins. And again, let's not forget, we're not asking them to win division, but they also are playing in probably the weakest division in football.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, because like you look at last year's records. I mean, Tampa Bay wins that division with a 9-8 record. The Saints, how they got to be 9-8, I can't even remember. Atlanta, now, this is a different Atlanta team. They were 7-10 this year. They get rid of their quarterback. They almost like hit the reset button without, you know, really pushing it all the way. They bring in Kirk Cousins. Then they bring in reinforcement just in case, you know, something flares up with him and Michael Penix Jr. But, you know, I just think Kirk Cousins is walking into one hell of a situation with the untapped Kyle Pitts and Drake London, and we all know Kirk Cousins like to throw it up, Jacob.
Yeah, absolutely, and not just Drake London. I mean, you have Kyle Pitts, the star tight end, and Captain Kirk has made a career out of peppering his tight ends with targets, and then you've got Bijan out of the backfield who can also catch passes. And Dalvin Cook was really good at being a dual threat running back while paired with Kirk Cousins. So it's a match made in heaven for Kirk.
Yeah, and I think you just said it right there, Jacob. I think one of the main reasons Arthur Smith got fired is because they drafted Bijan Robinson, what, number 7 overall? And he wouldn't give him the ball last year. Like, this guy is set up to be a star running back in this league, catching and running the ball. And I think you're going to see him be featured. Obviously, you mentioned Drake London. Kyle Pitts, man, he has all the talent in the world to be that star tight end, but I'm still hearing that he's struggling in camp. So it's going to be interesting to see how it is. And then the main question, you just mentioned Kirk Cousins coming off that Achilles injury at that age. Kind of the same question with Aaron Rodgers. Can these guys come back after an injury like that, older in age, and be able to produce? And maybe it's one of the reasons they did take Michael Penix, just in case, you know, Kirk Cousins gets another injury again.
Yeah, the one team in that division, guys, that I'm struggling with, and you know, we're going to make our predictions in the next segment there. But the Saints, I just don't know, because you get when you look at this division now, you got to think Carr is the most experienced quarterback. I mean, you can challenge me on that with Kirk Cousins, but Carr, you know, has been a pretty good quarterback over the greatest part of his career. But the Saints, for some reason, I'm just not knowing, you know, they bring in Olave. They still have Kamara. You know, it's just some of the old guys, not Olave, but Kamara. I don't know what. I just think he's going to take a few steps backwards this year. I just can't put my hand on the Saints.
Yeah, I'm going to go out here and make a prediction, and maybe this is Rich coming from, you know, a guy who covers the Panthers and they have been in last place. But I think the Saints finish in last place in this division, Gene. This is coming from a guy who, I said the Raiders did Derek Carr wrong. He was a very good quarterback. But it just has not clicked in New Orleans. He struggled. I have said it multiple times that I think Dennis Allen is probably a bottom 5 coach in the NFL, and I don't see how he keeps his job after this year. And then you mentioned it. Their skill guys are older. Kamara, Michael Thomas, again, is suspended for week 1. And their best defensive players are Cam Jordan and Tyrann Mathieu, who are also up there in age. I just don't like their roster. I think they're going to finish in last place. And I will go out there and say I'm not as close to this team as I am the Panthers. But I've heard a lot of rumbling that if Derek Carr struggles early, that Spencer Rattler, the rookie from South Carolina, has impressed big time in camp. and they kind of think that he could be the future, and that could be sooner rather than later.
I agree with that. Jacob, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dustin basically read off everything on my notepad. I mean, I'm not running off the notepad, but I think Dennis Allen is one of the worst coaches in the NFL. And I agree. I think the Saints finish in the stellar. I don't see any reason for them to not be in last place in that, in the weakest, what could be the weakest division in professional football, just because they have an aging roster, they have no cap room. And, I mean, Rashid Shaheed's young. He's a wide receiver, just like Chris Olave. And he provides, like, they have some talent. They have some explosiveness and speed, but they don't have a full team. It's a team game at the end of the day. And the Derek Carr experiment hasn't worked. The run game has taken a step back every year for the last 2 or 3 years. They don't have the money to improve. So I don't see any room for improvement. They're going to take a step back again this year and probably hit the reset button, in my opinion.
And speaking of that, Gene, week one is Saints-Panthers. So that's two teams who are probably saying, they're both thinking, we need to win this game because they're probably thinking the other team is who they're battling for at the bottom of that division.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why, you know, later on in the show, we're going to get into some of the most intriguing matchups for week one. Because they're going to be critical, definitely Texans-Colts. But that is, you know, when you start off with divisional games, man, the writing is already on the wall. So you don't want to be 0-1 in your division when you're looking at five more games there. But we should see, guys. But, hey, look here. Dustin, as always, man, thank you for coming on. You know, me and you will hook up this week on the Sports King Show and make our predictions, which I'm usually more right and Dustin is more wrong.
I'm going to let that one go, Gene, until we get on the show.
All right, folks. Hey, Dustin Fyfe for joining us, Valley Sports Southeast. Me and Jacob Meadows, we will be back with our final thoughts on the NFC South and what our orders. So stick around. It's the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, we want to thank Dustin Fyfe for joining us in that last segment as we continue our NFC South predictions. And that would mean myself and Jacob Meadows, who also is joining us at home under the weather. Jacob, you know, the studio is just... We miss you here, man. AJ said he didn't know how he was going to sit through 2 hours looking at my face today, but we're getting through it.
I tuned into the live lobby just to see the sad empty chair. It sucks that I have to miss next weekend too, because I'm on vacation for my birthday. I'll be calling in again, but I'll be back. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Y'all can see my beautiful face in studio.
Happy early birthday, Jacob.
Yeah, happy.
I appreciate it, man.
Early birthday, Jacob. What are you going to be, like 16?
It sure feels like it, man. Yeah. I'm turning ripe and 30. I'm halfway expired. I'll be turning 30 years old.
Between you and AJ and the youthness of this show, I tell you, it balances out, though. I have to I have to really hold back on my old stories because I don't want to put you guys to sleep. But it's all good. But anyway, hey, Dustin Fyfe, man. Dustin always brings it. And hey, don't forget, listen to Sports Kings podcast on iHeart or Podbean, wherever you get podcasts, right? So we do this weekly countdown show. We've done it for like 10 years straight. And we just chime in. We go at every matchup that's scheduled, so it's always good. So can't wait to get into that with Dustin on Wednesday. I think we're going to do it. We have to do it before the season kickoff. But, Jacob, I want to kind of finish out here because we're going to give our thoughts on – I got my prediction order for the AFC South. But here's a team, the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are my question mark there because they got off to that surprising 3-1 start last year, right? They were in first place.
Yes,
for leading up to week five, the bye. And then, however, after that bye, they went south. They lost six of the next seven games. And then they found a way to rebound, and they won five of their last six games, which was good enough to win the tiebreaker against the Saints, which is the reason why they clinched the division. But I don't know. I think the Buccaneers are surrounded with talent, but it always somehow seems to fall on Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has historically put out a great season, but hasn't really followed it up with a better next season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. The Buccaneers are the biggest question mark for me as well, just because they didn't do a lot in the offseason. You know, they were real quiet with their acquisition, and it feels like they brought more or less the same team back from last season, which, you know, they made the playoffs, they won the division, but not by much. So I'm not sure if they actually took a step forward going into this season, or if they kind of just sat put and hoped that nobody else in the division improved to the point that they were already at. Because they have all of the same weapons on offense. You have Rashad White with the new season and the scheme and whatnot. He was a good running back. But you have Mike Evans, who's getting older. He's still, you know, he's a top eight wide receiver easily. First ballot Hall of Fame. Dude's amazing. But he is older. You have Chris Godwin, same story, getting older. He's been oft injured over the last couple of years. And then you have a mishmash of other people at wide receiver behind them, too, that are kind of plug and play, that are good but not great. And it doesn't feel like this is going to be a different team. So I don't think that they have a better season this year. I think they might take a step back with their division getting more competitive, as well as the teams around them in their conference. I don't know if the Buccaneers did enough to compete more, if that makes sense.
Boy, that makes a lot of sense, because I'm just struggling with it. And I know there were times last year when you wondered why Baker Mayfield could not hit, you know, Evans. Evans was open, you know. And you just see these crazy games where he's not even targeted in the first half. And then, you know, you see this late rally where he goes and hit Evans about 10 times in a row. So I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. And I know Todd Bowles, have a lot of respect for that guy, you know. But I just don't see this Buccaneers team being lucky enough to win the division. But the team that I do see, and the team that made wholesale changes this year in their offseason, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. You know, they fired, you know, Arthur Smith. They bring in, you know, another coach, Raheem Morris. And, man, you just see some of that. They bring in Kirk Cousins. They bring in some defensive players here. Just, you know, I mean, that team is not the same Atlanta Falcons team that we saw last year.
No, not at all. Because they won the Justin Simmons sweepstakes, right? They got Justin Simmons and then followed it up with the Matt Judon trade, correct, on defense?
Yeah.
They loaded up on talent. Right. Yeah, I think I do have to agree with you there. I think Atlanta wins that division. I mean, if they don't, it's solely going to be because their quarterback position falls apart, because they've done everything else correctly. They loaded up on veterans. They have plenty of young players. They have speed. They have power. They have everything you need to compete. I think, in my opinion, before the season starts, Atlanta should be number one in that division.
In the 7-10 season last year, look, they get rid of Desmond Ridder, you know, who is, I don't even know if he's still in football. I know that he was waived by the Falcons, and then I think he went to the Cardinals. He went somewhere.
Got picked up by the Cardinals and then got waived by the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals waived him. So, right now. I mean, but that was a high draft pick. So, but they still finished 7-10. So this team is serious, because, look, that's only two games behind the Buccaneers, who won the division. So you don't think this team is reloaded on defense and offense? They bring in Raheem Morris, who used to coach down in Tampa, by the way. So he's definitely familiar with the division. He goes and hangs out with our coach there with the Rams, Sean McVay. And I'm just really happy to see Raheem Morris get another job. But I think this team is going to be like, you know, everyone like to compare, you know, to the Texans. I mean, but I'm looking at this Atlanta Falcons team to shock, not only win the division, but, man, might make a deep playoff run, because they just might run away with the NFC South, which would give them the cushion to have enough wins and host maybe one or two playoff games.
See, there's only one negative comparison that I can compare this Atlanta Falcons team to, and it's not a one-to-one. They remind me a little bit of the dream team that was put together in Philadelphia back in the day. I mean, naturally, Captain Kirk's not Michael Vick. But it reminds me a lot of the dream team they put together in Philadelphia that fell short. And I'm just curious if that's going to be what ends up, you know, happening to the Atlanta Falcons. They put this team together. They have all these stars from around the league that take these team-friendly contracts and play together to win a ring. You know, you have the Justin Simmons and the Matt Judon and the Captain Kirk and, you know, some of these big-name vets all coming together. And I wonder if it'll be a one-and-done in the playoffs against better teams. I do think it's going to be enough. They'll front-load. They'll win that division by two or three games. But I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, they could be one-and-done in the playoffs, but I definitely think they're going to win the division. I just think so. And I, you know, and listening to Dustin, you know, I'm on the fence between, I don't know, well, New Orleans might be bad. I don't know. I just give a lot of respect to quarterbacks who are at least experienced. So when you look at this team here, Cousins and Carr are the most experienced quarterbacks in this division. And Baker Mayfield would be the next one. But, you know, these guys, longevity there with Kirk Cousins up there in Minnesota. I know he was originally with Washington, but a lot of years spent in Minnesota, a lot of years for Carr in with the Raiders. I don't know. I like to see Bryce Young, you know, have a better year. Like Dustin said, you can't do any worse than the 2-15 record.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think Carolina's easily going to get the best turnaround team this year award and whatnot. Bryce Young really didn't have anybody to throw to last year. When DJ Chark is your best receiver years after his best years at Jacksonville,
right.
It doesn't spell a lot for you. Adam Thielen's 33, and he was out there he had an insane year last year because that was the only guy that Bryce Young had to throw to. I think doing nothing but adding offensive linemen and wide receivers to the mix would have catapulted Carolina into that next national. Like, they have successfully started the rebuild, and things can only go up from here.
Well, here's my division prediction for the NFC South. I have the Falcons winning that division. I have the Buccaneers second. I'm going to give Baker Mayfield and that team. They didn't really have to acquire anybody. They already have a talented team. And let's just see what Baker Mayfield does. And part two is what we're going to call this for Baker Mayfield. Then I have the Saints third place. I have the Panthers. And this is why we did this with Dustin off the air. I got the Panthers finishing last.
Nice. Day. Not too bad. We're almost in full agreement. I just think the Saints round out the cellar. I have to agree with Dustin on that one. I think it's going to be the Falcons, the Bucks, then the Panthers, then the Saints. And the Saints will finally be able to start their rebuild after this season. If they have a bad year, they'll probably can Dennis Allen, and then they'll be able to draft a quarterback early or find one in free agency and start over.
The Saints could be our worst first team. You do know where the Super Bowl is at next year, right? You do know. You know it's in New Orleans, right? Now, you don't
absolutely.
Think, you don't think the Saints are going to be have some incentive to play better? You know, we saw this, 2 years in a row, we saw the host Super Bowl town team made the Super Bowl. We saw it with the Rams. Then we saw it with the Buccaneers, you know.
And then when the Rams did it, wasn't that the first time? Like, it's happened twice recently,
yeah, it happened back to back before. So who knows? We'll see. But, hey, this is going to round up our first hour here. We are pretty much done with this first hour. When we come back, we got a whole lot more stuff to talk about in the second hour. So, folks, hope you stick around here. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show on a Sunday night, ESPN 97.5, H-Town.